Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and welcome to Flavor Matters. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters. And I am thrilled that Leila Mushabek, the editor of the Immigrant Cookbook from Interlink Books, is here with me today to discuss the book and discuss how the idea of the book came and how she was able to put it together. Leila, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for making the drive with your husband and the kid, Sammy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Leila, tell us a little bit about how this idea of the book, the Immigrant Cookbook, Recipes That Make America Great. How did that come about?
Okay, well, I'm cookbook editor at Interlink Publishing, and we're a small independent press in Northampton, Massachusetts. And we typically focused on books that may aid cultural understanding. You know, we do a lot of translated fiction and international cooking. And I think in recent years, like many people, we felt like we wanted to take a little bit more direct action to support some of...
And I think you forget to mention that some of your books have won several awards.
That is true, yes. We wanted to take more direct action to support some of those causes that we really believe in a more direct way. So a couple of years ago, we published a book called Soup for Syria, which gathered soup recipes from around the world, from many different very well-known chefs, and it was
an international endeavor because chefs in London, Europe, and the United States participated.
Yeah,
and then they held events.
Yeah, throughout the country, and we raised money for the UNHCR and other food and medical relief for Syrians.
Was that your idea again?
That was actually Barbara Abdeni Masad, who is the author of that collection, put it together.
Okay.
She gathered recipes, and we worked
with her
to edit.
So you were the editor
on it, yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And then published.
And
it
that
again.
Was our that sort of on the success of that project. We raised hundreds of thousands of dollars.
If I'm not mistaken, Sami Tamimi on Atalengi held an event in London.
Yes, and we had recipes by Claudia Roden, Alice Waters, and Barbara was very active in organizing events all over the world.
Wonderful.
And it was, it sort of sparked a movement, and
right.
We were so pleased with it that we decided to build on this and do a fundraising cookbook per year that focused on a sort of politically relevant cause and also one that we really cared about.
And socially relevant.
Yes.
Both politically and socially relevant.
Yeah.
So then comes the election of 2016, mm-hmm. and all the rhetoric about the immigrants and the travel ban and how, otherness is a problem.
Yeah.
Which was almost the perfect milieu.
Yeah, we felt like in these current times, it was a really important moment to celebrate the contribution that immigrants bring to our society and our culture. And I think a cookbook is a really great way to do that because, we all enjoy immigrant cuisines every day, whether we think about where those foods came from or not. So the book gathers recipes from 80 first and second generation immigrant American chefs who are at the forefront of American food culture.
No, it's amazing the chefs that you've been able to bring here. The Andres is here. I forget this lady's name.
Joanne Chang.
And then Danielle Bouleau. And then you also have the baker. Well, I'm very proud to be part of this, but I also feel that I'm in such a great company. And you said something about the immigrants. It's food transcends any political boundary, social boundary. Delicious food is brings people together. And often I feel that if politicians would sit, and in those meetings, instead of there was water or chocolate or some snacks, if there were some ethnic food from the country that is being presented, they may come up with very different decisions.
Well, I think
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
because
of course.
We don't think about our differences. We think about how wonderful this food is and how it arouses different parts of us and how we're enjoying it.
Well, I think, you know, one of the really special things about the book, and I didn't mention earlier, but we'll be donating a portion of the proceeds to the ACLU.
Thank you for pointing that out, yes.
To their Immigrants' Rights Project.
Well, $5 of each sale goes to ACLU's
yes.
Immigrant Project.
Yeah, and you can read more about the work that they do on theimmigrantcookbook.com.
Exactly, theimmigrantcookbook.com. And we will have that information on the website of this show as well.
Yeah, I think one of the really special things about the book is that, you know, it brings together all of these different chefs who are sharing recipes that to them reflect their immigrant experience. And so many of them shared recipes that are very personal. Their memories of learning to cook with family members, their dishes that are celebration dishes or dishes that they make when they're homesick to remind them of home and to connect with their heritage and homeland. And I think, you know, when you cook one of these dishes and you read the stories of the chefs and why it's personal to them, you're bringing a piece of that culture into your home and you're connecting with it in an intimate way. And I think food
100%.
Can be a really wonderful medium for that kind of connection.
It's beyond intimate way. And, you know, I'm flipping through the book and I see, tell me about the photography of the book. Did you use one photographer, various photographers? Did the chefs provide, each chef provide their own image?
Well, the photography provided a little bit of a challenge because we wanted both the personalities and of the chefs to come through, but they're all in very different places. So about half of them were photographers in their own cities across the country who worked directly with the chefs who styled the food and photographed it. And the other half was photographed by a young, also immigrant photographer called Ricky Rodriguez, who has a photography studio called Ricarious Photography. And he was wonderful.
It's in Northampton or where?
He's actually based in New York City, but
okay.
Predominantly the book, the photos were shot in Northampton.
So he went to Northampton to shoot them because I know, for example, mine is something that you photographed there because my photo didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Are you also, when you say you're the book editor, do you also edit the photographs or do you have a person that helps you edit the photographs?
Oh, yeah, we work with designers the photographer, Ricky, who's much more adept at photo editing than I am.
Okay. So tell me, how has the book been received? And what waves has it created?
Oh, well, I mean, we've had an incredible reception to it, and it's been really fun for me because I think, firstly, as an editor, usually my role is very much in the background, and I've felt like I've been much more. I've learned a lot from talking
You've
to people
had to step
and
into the light
about it. But it's also being the nature of the book being this very kind of socially relevant topic, and bringing together so many different people and different kinds of cuisines and stories. I think it sparks interest to people outside of our normal reach in terms of publicity. So typically, you know. With a cookbook, you'll get into certain food magazines, or you'll be reviewed by you know the sort of industry magazines. But this one, we've been you know Forbes did a feature on it, Vogue. It's been in featured in Food and Wine. I think
Huffington Post had a big article about that.
I think
Wall Street Journal.
Yes, correct. And at the Food Network, we've had all kinds of wonderful.
Did you have to appear on Food Network? So
no.
They did a little segment on it.
They featured it in an article.
Okay. Oh, I
so
see.
I haven't been on.
Okay. was bringing all these chefs together? How were you able to sort it out, or how did you end up organizing the book? You know, there are 80 people. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time when you and I spoke about 2 years ago, and I wanted something simple and something intimate and something close to me, not really knowing the outline. And I've contributed to similar ideas here, but this book has come out so nicely, and there's such cohesive warmth to it. How are you able to bring them all together and weave them into each other?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting that you say that, because we, as you may remember, we didn't give a lot of guidance in terms of what to
No, you
to
just
provide.
Asked me to give you a recipe that I really enjoy and I really like.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, when I explained, first of all, we had this incredible reception from the chefs that we approached. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody was so excited to contribute to something like this.
As I was, yeah.
Feel that they're in good company. Mm-hmm. And I think also, you know, when we asked people, we just sort of wanted to keep it so that the recipes are accessible to a home kitchen. And we asked people to contribute recipes that meant something to them and their experience, whether that be a traditional recipe from their home country, or some the result of sort of culinary fusion, or even something that's culturally unspecific that is just very personally important to them. And I think when we asked people that so many gave recipes that were personal to them. So this, which was the recipes they remember from their childhood, the recipes that make them nostalgic, the recipes that they've developed and they enjoy in their own homes. So this is really home cooking, even from some of the chefs who, you know, like yourself, head kitchens and have a very
right, and
different...
we run a professional
exactly.
Disposition towards cooking now.
And I think it sort of happened quite naturally that the recipes were personal, and I think that really comes through with food. It's particularly when you have a really skilled chef, you know, that warmth is something even the simplest dishes can convey.
You know, as I'm listening to you, I suspect the word immigrant. I mean, no matter how you cut me, dice me, or slice me, I'm an Armenian from Iran that can never be taken away from me. Even if I want to hide it, I can't.
Of course.
So when I think of the word Armenian, Iranian, and I think of the word immigrant, the next thing is the Armenian, Iranian, I am very quickly transported back to my life in Iran with my family and the things that we ate and the joyous time. So I suspect that all the immigrants that you have contacted, regardless of their position now in the culinary world, the word immigrant had the same impact on them.
Of course.
You know, time with family or even nostalgia. You know, for me, there's a lot of nostalgia when I think of immigrant. I'm an immigrant. Do you feel that way sometimes yourself?
Mean, so I'm the child of immigrants. But
sure.
For me, I think because, you know, so my father is Palestinian, my mother is English. And I think like so many second generation immigrants, it's sometimes connecting with one's cultural heritage is difficult in a very tangible, direct way. You can travel there, but you didn't have that upbringing that your
sure,
parents had.
Sure, sure.
The culture is important to you,
yeah.
But not necessarily something that you
There's
experience.
No continuity.
Exactly.
Right.
So for me, cooking the recipes of my cultural heritage has allowed me to more tangibly connect with that culture. And I think that is a theme that crops up with some of the recipes in the book, whether people are connecting with their home that they've left behind or connecting with their parents' histories or cultures. I think it's something that we all carry with us.
Yeah, and I think that's a wonderful theme for us to continue for our next segment. If you've just tuned in, I've been talking to Leila Mushabek, the editor of this wonderful cookbook, The Immigrant Cookbook, Recipes That Make America Great, a collection of 80 recipes with various chefs or various people in the food industry that Interlink Books, a publishing company in Northampton, Massachusetts, has published. And hopefully you will tune in to listen to our next conversation with Leila. Thank you, Leila.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Sarah Vaughan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Sarah Vaughan Restaurant in Amelia, New York, saravaughan.com on the web.